We're going to have to get used to ministering in the anointing, because it's no good if you can't stand up. You've got to be able to minister under it. Yes, and the glory fell in Solomon's temple. They couldn't stand to minister, but they were all God's people. We've got to be able to minister under this to the world, in Tesco's, wherever we are, where the glory of God is on us to minister this stuff. So I want to encourage you to really get hold of that and get going. Just want to carry on with sharing some of this vision of where God is taking us. We looked at our history, where we've come from, and it's really important to know our past and our present and our future. To know where we've come from, know where we are and where we're going. Because the word is a lamp to our feet. It will show us where we are. It's a lamp to our path. It will show us where we're going. But we always must remember where we've been. Not glorying in where we've been, but recognizing and being thanks, giving thanks to God who has brought us here on a journey. And we've been on a prophetic journey as a church. And God has brought us to this place through many different stepping stones and has got us here. Probably, you know, some of it is just him who's done it. But we've heard a lot of prophetic things along the way. Some of the things God has said that we need to be free to know who he is. This is where Freedom Church comes from, Isaiah 61. But free to know, free to see, free to be, free to do, and free to go. That's not free to do what we want. It's free to do what God wants. It's free to fulfill the plan of God for our lives. God wants us to see that plan, see our destiny, and be able to fulfill it in him. We want to help people find and fulfill their purpose and destiny as a church. As a church, you're it. So if you fulfill your destiny, you will determine what church looks like. It's an apostolic and prophetic direction, a heavenly vision, supernatural kingdom of God. That is what our vision is. That was Jesus' message. He brought the supernatural kingdom of God from heaven onto earth, and he taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So a lot of you have been going to heaven, and it's fantastic to hear the testimonies. I'm glad I'm not there on my own anymore. So it's like, it's excellent to actually hear your testimonies. But we've got to bring what we see into heaven here on earth. We have to manifest it in our lives, because God is showing us there so he can bring it here. So when we feel love there, it needs to come here. When we feel acceptance and peace there, we need to bring it here. When we see the supernatural things of God there, we need to bring them here. And that's our desire, to bring heaven and see heaven invading earth, to see revival, community transformation. It's not enough for God just to touch us. It has to overflow into this community, and we have to see what God is doing here spread out. So we take authority into a different realm to see the kingdom of God impact business, see the kingdom of God impact every area, the education system, the criminal justice system, every area God wants to impact and bring, as Chris talked about earlier, restorative justice, restoring people to their destiny in all their ways. So that's some of our history. Last week, a reminder of what Sue Davis said, that God wants us to have a spirit of excellence because we've chosen the most excellent way, the way of love. We need to be motivated by love. That this is a year of our inheritances and promises to be fulfilled. That is a restoration of our birthright and our identity, restored to Eden. We were singing about walking with God in the Garden of Eden this morning. It's a fantastic song, talking about actually the relationship that we've got on the inside of us. Eden is where God is in the inside, and we can walk with him, fellowship with him, and relate with him. But go beyond that into what would have been if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. Investiture, succession, enthronement, and coronation. This year, people are going to be invested. They're going to be clothed with royal scepters, crowns, mantles, and thrones. Some of you are going to get these things this year, places of authority in the things that God has called you to in your destiny, and we're going to start to see that. Some specific words I saw last week. The new levels of intimacy that we are receiving from God requires new levels of giving. New levels of giving ourselves. There will be new levels of holiness, new levels that God demands of us. As we get closer to him, it will transform our lives. It's a highway of holiness, it says in the Old Testament. Now, we need to come to him with pure hands and a clean heart. And God is will do that in our lives. He's going to work that. There are going to be levels of boldness in vision and so on. And we're going to look at some of these more clearly. More of heaven in 2011. Well, we're still only in February and we're getting much more of heaven. And we're going to see more and more, because I want every single person here to be able to experience the tree of life in heaven and the river of life, and to see their destiny and to begin to start to fulfill it. And that is something God wants us to do. I'll share more on the second heaven stuff next week. But remember, we've got a big vision. This is the first part of it, to occupy and bring blessing to this space that God has shown us, and from there to take that further and further and wider and wider. But God operates through progressive revelation. In other words, he speaks to us, but then he continues to speak to us. Doesn't just say one thing and stop. He gives us revelation and he adds that to that revelation with more when we can receive it. Because Jesus said to these disciples, I've got so much more I want to give to you and reveal to you, but you're not ready. You wouldn't be able to take it. In these days, God is opening up revelation so we can receive things that have not been seen before. Now, there's a scripture that we received, and we received it by in a supernatural way. As we were praying before the prayer room is it now, and the training room, it was the whole side of the building was that. And we were in that room, and we were praying, and I think calling out on God. And God opened her Bible and looked at it. And then when she put it down and picked it up again, it was open at a different passage. And that passage was a really important passage for us because it set some of the prophetic direction. I think she opened it, looked at it and thought, oh, I'll read it out, but that was it. I meditated on it for weeks and weeks because I felt it was really significant. And it was in Chronicles. She was the messenger. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 4, and some important things in here. He did write, and he's talking of Uzziah, the king. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And this is what God's really impressed, that we've been doing what is right in God's sight, but we must continue to seek God. It's not enough to stay where you are. Even though where you are is good, God has got more, and we have to continue to seek him. And the understanding would come through vision. It would come through prophetic vision. And then it went on to give some practical things there. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. So if we want to continue to be blessed and enter into the blessing of God, we've got to continue to seek him and press into that. Now he went out and warred. He didn't keep what he had in that revelation. He wanted to take it out and take ground and take the thing that God had called him to have. So he went out and he warred. And he warred against the enemy, and he destroyed a lot of the enemy around him, and he actually had a strategy for doing that. And the strategy for doing that, and this is what I want to encourage you to look at, he says, Uzziah had an army ready for battle. And we need to be ready for battle, because we are in a spiritual battle every day. We need to be ready for battle. But in this battle, they entered combat by divisions. So there were different groups of people who were divided up according to their thing in war. In war, you might have cavalry, you might have archers, you might have spearmen in olden times, swordmen, all sorts of different ways. And there were different divisions, different groups of people. And this is what God spoke to me as I was doing it, and then showed me a revelation of what that meant. And then it basically says, according to their number and muster prepared by the king's officers. So there were people who were going to be able to equip these divisions. And under their direction, an elite army of 307,500 men. Now, it's illustrative, but it would be great if we had 307,500 working with us. And we got more than that in God's kingdom in the world. Who would wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army, for every one of us, weapons. For some, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows and slings and stones. And as a result of that, his fame spread afar, and he was marvelously helped until he was strong. And God is promising that to us. But if we will honor him, what we're doing here will spread. And we've had that prophetically spoken over us by a lot of people. So as I was meditating on that, I had a vision. And in this vision, I was watching from above, and I saw a mountain come out of the desert. And it went higher and higher and higher, this big mountain. And on top, there was a plateau on top. And as I was looking down, I saw a picture, a vision, and I saw a picture, and there was a diamond shape on top. And I only saw half of the diamond, if you know what was in it. And God gave me this revelation of ministry teams, that we needed ministry teams to prepare the army for victory. And I saw some of what that ministry teams was. But God has expanded the revelation as we've been keeping seeking him. And there is more to come on that, which I want to share today. So we need to continue to receive understanding through prophetic revelation and through those visions. Now, this is what God showed me on top of the mountain. That was half of the diamond that I saw. Praise, prophetic, and prayer. And I saw that. And it looked like an arrowhead to me. And so our focus in forming praise and prayer and prophetic ministry teams is that it would enable us as a church to move forward in the ministry that God had given us. But after a while, continual meditation, God really spoke to me again and really made it clear that actually this was not just an arrowhead, a triangle. This was a pyramid, like a prism. And that God was the central, the highest point of that. And so it wasn't no longer just points of an arrow. That was now each ministry team area was a triangle in itself. It had its own thing, surrounded by the Father, Son, and the Spirit, being in the center of God's purposes, that the praise team would make up not just musicians, but other people who are called to different areas of praise. And there are lots of different areas of praise. Same with prayer. It's not just, oh, well, some people are called to pray. Actually, there's a whole different dimensions of prayer that people will be called to. So that team makes up more than just one gift or ministry or call. And the same with the prophetic. It's more than just one form of prophecy. God wants to release multifaceted ways of doing things. But now, God has given us another team so that that is no longer a triangle, but it fulfills the diamond shape that I saw. And that's the pastoral team. Now, for those of you who know what the word pastoral means, it means shepherd. It's translated pastor, but actually it means shepherd. Pastor is just a term that's been put on it, but it literally means shepherd. And we need to see that pastoral ministry team form so that that will be the shape that enables the glory of God to be manifested in our midst. Okay? This is what God has actually said, that we, when we are part of those teams, will shine forth the glory of God and manifest God's glory around us. And this will be a way of doing that. So that the manifold wisdom of God, the glory of God, will be seen. Now, the manifold wisdom of God, what it means, manifold means multicolored and multifaceted. So it's not just one gift, not just one person, but in all of us, there's a multifaceted way that God wants to reveal himself. So we're all different colors, different fragrances in God's kingdom, and together we can actually shine that out to the world around us. Now, we were singing about this morning, and I want to talk about the manifold wisdom of God as God is light. It says in 1 John, God is light. And in John 8:12 there, it says, I am the light of the world. And this is Jesus talking. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And when we follow Jesus, the light of life is in us. And it doesn't want to be contained in us. It wants to shine out of us. And we've seen quite a lot of pictures of that. Even some of the gifts some of you saw, stuff is coming out. God does not want to be hidden or contained in us. In Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. This was Jesus talking to his disciples. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So those of you who have been going out, like you went into the school, You became the light to that school because Jesus was shining from you. That's what this means. Wherever we go, we are the light of the world. So where, you know what darkness is? It's the absence of light. And as soon as you bring light, there is no darkness. So we need to go to dark places and bring light. We need to go to some of the places where they seem dark, and when we go, we expose that darkness and it brings light, and it gives opportunity for people to come into the light because they're drawn to Jesus. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And when we go as light, we're bringing the revelation that Jesus is there and people can be drawn to him. Scripture, again, what we sang this morning, Isaiah 60. This was given to us as a church. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon us. This is the heart of God, that his glory, his manifest presence of light, will appear upon us. Then we can shine. And it's great that we can shine in this room, but actually we've got to shine from this place wherever we go. That's the heart of God for us. Ephesians 3 verse 9, it says, bring to light what is as the administration of the mystery. And this means there are things that have been hidden in the past, which are now being brought to light through the church. So that the manifold wisdom of God, who God is in all his manifold wisdom, might be made known through the church to who? The rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Because that's where we need to exercise our authority so that unearthly authority can be released. So the manifold wisdom of God, who we are as an expression of who God is, needs to be seen. And we're going to learn a lot more about this. Now, that means, and this is a picture I had when I was on the fast, when I was meditating about manifesting the wisdom of God, the light of Jesus in us, if it can shine through those ministry team areas and an expression of who you are in those areas, it will release the fruit of the Spirit. That's a fragrance. Fruit smells as a fragrance. It can be tasted and can be enjoyed. And those are some of the things that the world needs to taste and see and smell. And that will be released. The gifts, there's so many gifts the Bible talks about, will be released as we shine through those areas. Ministries, revelation will come. Offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherds, teachers. The graces of God, grace, mercy, compassion, truth, faith, hope, love. Ultimately, the foundations of God's kingdom will come so that King Jesus can return, ultimately. That is what we want to see, Jesus returning in glory for a church without spot and wrinkle who have risen up and taken its place in the world. Now, you notice it starts off quite broad and then narrows down. Because everything that comes from us in terms of light ultimately is to bring the revelation of Jesus. It's not there to display who we are. It's not there for us to show off. It is there to bring glory to God through Jesus and to reveal Jesus to the world around us. And as we are giving ourselves to serve God, that manifold wisdom will be shining. Now, I had a picture of a prism there, and if you can think of yourself as a frequency of light coming forth, you might be red, you might be yellow, you might be blue green, but it's not just limited to color. Scientifically, each one of you has a frequency, a song that vibrates within your being. They're trying right now to find a way of amplifying that so you can hear the signal. But they've detected that every single person has a different frequency and vibration that goes on in their life. A life song. We sing about it. Our life song. Now, this is what comes out. There's a fragrance and a song and a color which is who you are, and God wants it manifested. Now, we want to help that here to be manifested. I want to show you a picture of what it looks like and what I was seeing this morning. It's like there is so much color and it's all going outwards. So much within you to come out. Look what the world can be and the universe can be when you are filling it with the fragrance and the color of who you are. Because that is what God intended from the beginning. Adam and Eve were never supposed to stay in a garden. They were supposed to occupy the whole of the cosmos with the presence and glory of God. So some of you who've gone to heaven, you will have experiences where you visit other places in the heavenly realms. I've seen some of those things a bit like that. I know. I think Alice saw some stuff as well when God took her to a place in the heavens. Now, it's like, don't limit what God can do through you. If you are willing to surrender your life to Him, He will manifest Himself in a fragrance and a color and a light which is beyond your imagination or understanding right now. But it will shine. So we want to create a culture of honor here where we recognize and encourage the gifts and the fragrances and the colors and the sounds and the songs that your lives have. So at this point in time, this is the revelation that God's given us. There are these four groups, and in these four groups there are so many gifts and abilities and things that calls of God that have been expressed so that the glory of God can be manifested outwards. And some of that right now is a prayer team, and Graham has been leading that prayer team. Some of the people who are called in that prayer team are called to pray and petition God. Some may be called to wrestle in the second heavens, make declarations and call forth the kingdom of God from heaven to earth, to operate in intercession. There are lots of different ways there that God is actually operating. The prophetic team, Alice is responsible for leading that. There are prophetic ministries which are beyond just giving prophecies. Some people are prophetic seers. They see into different realms. Some people operate in ecstatic prophecy, visions, dreams. Some people bring forth direct words from God. There are so many things about prophetic acts. And I put a question mark after each because there's so much more that we have to discover. So many more gifts and ways in which we're to express prayer and the prophetic. Praise team, I'm going to be leading that and encouraging that. And that, again, encompasses many different gifts and people. And it's like, if you feel that, yeah, I've got something of this, then come and see me. You know, it's like, I want to encourage people, particularly in a lifestyle of praise. Because praise isn't just singing. It's great that we can sing, and high praise defeats the enemy, and it's great that God inhabits the praises of His people. But actually, it's way beyond that, into a lifestyle where we live in a constant state of praise. And that's really, really important. The pastoral team, Deb is going to be leading that. It's like shepherds, a SWAT team, which I've called spiritual warfare and tactics, freedom, healing, deliverance. That's part of her ministry and her call, and she carries some of these things in her heart. But one person can't deliver all those things. We need teams of people who are going to be involved, creating an environment of encouragement, teachers, all part of that. All those teams need to flow in an ethos, have an understanding of what it's about, of discipleship. We're there to support and encourage each other and help each other to know and to grow and to flow. And that needs to flow through all those things. We're not just groups, we're actually people helping each other. So we help each other to connect with each other and God, to have fellowship with each other and God, to be open, to support and have encouragement, to grow, to mature in our identity and our purpose, to learn our strengths and weaknesses together. It's a good place to be together to learn your strengths and weaknesses. You know, the rough edges of sandpaper that get rubbed off when we're in fellowship and relationship together, as you know, in community, comes up all the time. And it's like God uses that art to be in together to shape us and to make us more like Jesus. But also to flow, to do the things that are God's heart for us, to function in that. Freely giving what we've received, fruits, gifts, abilities, and it's okay to make mistakes. You know that. It's okay to have a go and learn from the experience. We're not going to get it right every time, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have a go. We need to be able to step out. Now, praise team, I sort of was thinking about this, and I found an acronym for praise, which worked really well for me. OOO, says Nigel. It says, praise releases atmospheres of intimacy leading to supernatural encounters. How's about that? You like that? Now, the key is atmospheres. Every one of us develops an atmosphere around us. That atmosphere can be seen in the spirit realm. Neville Johnson, who's a prophetic ministry, was given by God a gift for 4 months to see everybody's atmospheres and smells and fragrances. He had to ask God to take it away before the 4 months was up because he could not cope with all that he saw all the time. But atmospheres are developed by our attitudes and the way we are. So if we've got a bad attitude and we're, say, full of doubt or unbelief, or we may have anger or bitterness or resentment, it creates around us a color and a fragrance which is like blood in the water to sharks. Demons are drawn to bad attitudes, and they help you continue to make them worse. They get alongside, and they can smell it a mile off. And it's really important that we have an atmosphere of praise around us, that we praise God in every situation and circumstance, no matter what it is, how bad it is. If we praise God, God inhabits the praises of his people. He comes. It draws angels and it draws the glory of God when we are able to praise God. And if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about that, of how we need to praise God and rejoice in all things. And that is a really important thing. When I teach some of these things, I'll go into that in much more depth. But I want to encourage you, make sure you've not got an atmosphere cloud around you which draws the enemy. Make sure you don't walk in unforgiveness. Make sure you walk in praise and thanksgiving to God. So no matter what the situation is, you draw the presence of God to change that situation for good. Amen? It's really, really important one there. Because God wants us to have intimacy and supernatural encounters. But he inhabits our praises when we live that way. And it enables those supernatural encounters easier when we live in that atmosphere of praise. Pastoral, Deb is going to come and share her heart, the many gifted areas that she carries. Not sure that's on.
Hello. It's quite funny that I'm actually here saying that I'm going to lead this this team, because I have to put my hands up and said I've fought this for some considerable time, and a few years. And I think the thing is, in my past, in my experience of people, pastors, if you like, in where I would have acknowledged people being pastors, I would have seen them as sort of older men who go around for cups of tea with people and say, there, how are you? Nice to see you. And I was really struggled, because I was like, well, I'm just, you know, I'm not a man anyway, and I'm not that old, and I don't go around and have cups of teas with people. But that's kind of the way that I'd seen pastoral-hearted people operate. And I've had many conversations to do with this area, and God's really expanded my thinking that actually I do have a pastoral heart, which helps, because I love people. And so that's the first thing that's really quite important. And I read something years ago now, but it really impacted me. And it was, people will join churches for many, many different reasons. And it might be dynamic worship. Ta-da. It might be dynamic teaching. Ta-da. I think we have that. It can be for all sorts of reasons. But people stay in a church if they feel loved and cared for. And that's actually always stayed with me, and that's always been my heart. But I've always excluded myself from being pastoral, because I actually see that I've got different giftings from that. And so when we've been talking recently, I might actually call the pastoral team the SWAT team. I was like, yeah, I'm in. Because really, everything that I do comes from having a heart for people. And I'm finally in the place where I can acknowledge that. And what I love to do is see people set free to who God intended them to be. So a lot of the teaching that we do, which is the Freedom in Christ teaching, it's actually to see people set free from their prisons, set on the rock, having intimacy with God, knowing who God's called them to be. And, you know, that's pastoral, because we want to see people who they're created to be. I love to see people set free in deliverance. I love people's strongholds broken down. I love to see people just free. And the heart of that is pastoral, because I love people. So suddenly all the things that I said, no, it all made sense. So I need to say I'm sorry, really, because I probably should have been doing this a long time ago. But, you know, I'm just getting it now, really. So the heart of the pastoral team is to love people. And I see it as multifaceted, if you like. And there will be people who love to phone people up and say, how are you? There will be people who like having cups of tea and coffee. There are people who may text people. There are people who will want to see people set free and bring deliverance. There are people who will teach who their identity is. It is all based out of a love for people. One of the most important things that I think that we have is a spirit of encouragement, and there will be people who love to encourage. And so in this team, it's not about coming and being an expert in every area. If you have a heart for people that you would like to outwork as working in part of a team, to make sure that we are doing what we need to be doing for each other, because we're family and we need to feel part of a family. And that's really difficult to do when you look to just three or four people to make that happen. And that's where a lot of things go wrong, when you see people as more important. And if they phone you up, you feel cared for. Five other people can phone you up, but that doesn't matter. And we have to break down some of the wrong thinking and actually say, we are a family together. We are all important. We all have a part to play. And there are different bits of it that we will fit into. This is not about organizing people. This is not about telling people what to do. This is about honoring. For someone who might say, I really want to be able to just phone people and see how they are, it's like, absolutely fantastic. We want to support you that and encourage you in that and release you to do it. There may be other people who say, I really want to learn how to do that Freedom in Christ teaching, because if you're around for someone, if you're spending time with someone and they have bad attitudes, which we've said about, we don't want people to miss out on the blessings of God. Being pastoral does not mean there, never mind, agreeing with everything everyone says. The Bible talks about us loving each other, confronting each other in love. And sometimes being pastoral is to say, I totally understand what you're saying, but actually your thinking's a bit off here. Let's see what God says about it. So we need to know what God says about it so that we can bring truth to other people, because a pastoral heart is a truth bringer, that you can get alongside people, walk with them where they're at, cry with them, laugh with them, but actually bring the truth of God in them that's going to change them. Because sometimes our perspectives aren't that great, are they? I'm sure we all know that. And what we need is knowing that someone loves us enough to let us walk through into freedom. So there's that part of it as well. It's prophetic too. You know, I don't want to speak to someone and not be prophetic. I don't want to offer someone the counsel of natural counsel. I don't want to offer someone the counsel of the world. I want to be talking to someone and I want to hear what God is saying in that situation. So it's prophetic too. One of the areas that God spoke to us in the very beginning was that this is a family, but it's built in relationships. And over the years, the relationship, if you just take that word, has been the most attacked thing, I think, of all. And, you know, we need to know that we're there for each other. And division, hurt, disunity, people getting upset with each other, it's rampant, because that's the tool that the enemy uses. So pastoral heart will be loving people, but actually, as I say, confronting people where they're at in that. I like the SWAT team bit. Spiritual warfare, spiritual warfare and tactics. That's brilliant, because that's just who we are, isn't it? We know that we need the God's given us the weapons, and we need to be trained to use them. So it will be a bit of that as well. So what? I don't really know what this is going to look like, to be truthful. We'll explore the journey together. What I'm hoping is there'll be people who say, oh, I want that bit's me, or that bit's me, or that bit's me, and we'll come together, and then we'll make a fully functional team which is healthy, and that we'll be able to disciple each other and encourage each other and inspire and release each other on the way, so that whatever else happens, people will say, well, I know that they love me. So I think how we're going to do this is this. Are you going to do this? It's obviously tricky because there's a lot going on and there's only so many days in the week. So I think the third Monday in February, which is, I don't know the date, if you have an interest, if you think you'd like to explore it, you're not committing your life away, 21st of February, we're going to get together here at 7. So it's kind of instead of the prayer meeting, but it won't be because we will be praying, but it's just be a slightly different angle for it. If you want to come and explore, if you feel God stirring your heart to any part of that, then please, if you could let me know beforehand, it would be really cool. But otherwise, we'll just take it from there. We'll explore it together.
Excellent. Okay. Back to that. Seek God for where you feel the things that God has put in your heart can be expressed. Okay, I know some of you will think, well, I can be in all those, and yeah, you can be, but actually what I want you to see is, okay, where is the primary focus of your heart? Because yes, we can all prophesy, and the prophetic team is actually more about having prophetic revelation for direction and strategy, not just being able to prophesy. We can all prophesy, okay? The prayer team is not just about, well, yeah, it's all nice to pray, isn't it? Actually, it's about those feel called to a deeper level of prayer. And we need prophecy in that team. The praise team, it's not just about, well, I want to be a musician or anything like that. It's actually about a lifestyle of praise, but actually there may be different areas of praise that you feel that's an area that God has called me to. So I want to encourage you in all those areas, just spend some time seeking God. Say, where is my primary heart? And I would encourage you to go with your primary heart. So on Monday nights, on the first Monday, we're going to have is prophetic team. The second Monday is prayer. The third Monday is going to be pastoral. And the fourth Monday is like, we'll open it up and see what we go on that. But I think a lot of this stuff, it's like God has given us this picture to allow his glory to be manifested around. And so I'd encourage you, you will all fit somewhere in there. Now that's not to say that you won't have ministries or gifts outside of that, but within what we're doing right now to encourage you and to enable you, just seek God in those areas, because I feel this is going to enable growth. It's going to enable you to grow in who you are and help as we move forward as a church into the things that God's called us to do. Amen? Now, I think I finished there. I want to just pray for those people I didn't pray for last week. So for those, let me find out where they are. I've got a list of them here somewhere. Okay. I shared this last week about having a word that God showed me about imparting a revelation of two things, who you are as an identity and the identity that God is, okay, and those were the different categories. And those of you who weren't here last week and would like to be prayed for today, you don't have to if you don't want to, but I think on this one about Father and Son, there was Dave, Richie, Joe, Steve, and I think the others aren't here. So if you want someone to pray for you, please come up and I'll pray and impart this. Rachel's not here. Prince and King, I think Eddie, was that? It's not here for that one. And those aren't here. And then Jeremy in terms of warrior, and the last one was Anson in terms of seer, creator. Okay. So I encourage you, if you weren't here last week and want prayer ministry on that, I'd like to impart something to you, because I think this is something God is actually saying to impart to your heart, and an impartation to actually pursue it. All right, so is that clear for those who saw their names up there? All right, if you want to come up, and the rest of you, can you just reach out to these guys in prayer and seek God in it for you? Okay.